for today. I'm sorry about that. Our engineer was very kind to me and he asked me to put on a little thing, but there's nowhere to put it, so we're using this one instead. Thank you so much. Our scripture reading for today comes to us from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, and it reads, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. It is certainly a pleasure to be here with you this morning. I deem it an honor to have been asked and invited by our pastor. Pastor Jerry, I honor you. Thank you for your invitation. Pastor Paula, thank you for your invitation. For all those persons who have been to Green Heights in Montego Bay, Jamaica, Wagwan. That's right. For all the congregants here today who have been with us before in Jamaica, I say thank you for the sacrifices you made to have been there, and we look forward to seeing everybody. Wouldn't it be awesome to bring the entire congregation down there? Oh yes, and we just take over Montego Bay. Come on, Spirit of Truth, say something. That's right, all right, okay. Well, I've got limited time, and I just wanted to share with you for a few minutes on the Word of God as it pertains to forgiveness. Who finds it really easy to forgive? Let me see the hands of those who find it really easy to forgive. You do? I love you. I want to be just like you when I grow up. As it is right now, not so much. Okay. I do not always find it easy to forgive, because in life sometimes the people that you expect the best from are the ones who let you down. Am I correct? Yeah, sometimes the people you're close to who you expect the very best from, or sometimes the people you give the most to are the ones who bring you down or let you down or really don't live up to what you expect of them. And so sometimes it's difficult to forgive those people. But God is an awesome God. And that is why I love him as much as I do. He is a wonderful God. In his expectations of us, he doesn't ask us to do what he is unable to do. He asks us to do exactly what he knows that he had to go through, and so he knows we can do it. Amen? For in thinking about forgiveness today and all the scriptures that we were discussing, I think about when I was younger, and I'm not so young now, but I used to be. I used to be young. When I was younger, one of the things that I found very piercing to me. My girlfriend, Pastor Judy from Minneapolis, from St. Paul, Minneapolis, is here with me today. Thank you for coming. And she will know the story of when I just left London. I grew up in London. I was born in Jamaica, just left London, went back to Jamaica on missions when I was 19 for the first time, and I met my husband-to-be. Well, we didn't know he was my husband-to-be at 19, but after having gone back to Jamaica for the following 5 years, every year for 5 years, after 5 years, he asked me to marry him. And so, you know, I said, okay, fine, but that would mean I'd have to pack my stuff up in London and, you know, move to Jamaica and all of that. And so we started the process. Unfortunately, my mother was not very pleased about that. And so she completely freaked out. And she said, how could you possibly do that? We took you to London and educated you. You have no ambition. How do you want to go back to Jamaica? To the bush? With a bushman? And so she was, you know, completely thrown out. So can I tell you what happened? My husband and I decided that we loved each other and we wanted to get married anyway. And so we decided to go ahead with the marriage. Well, on the 4th of February, 1984, we got married. Yes, I'm glad we did. However, my mother did not come to the wedding. And my sisters and brothers who flew down from London to attend the wedding, my eldest sister was my chief bridesmaid. And because my mother didn't come, she didn't come either. So you imagine on the morning of the wedding, I'm sitting at home fully dressed in my wedding attire with my youngest sister and my other sister. My older sister gets into a car and she drives away 70 miles to Ocheria so she would not have to attend the wedding with me without my mom. And then my father, who was to give me away, my mother said to him, if you dare go to that wedding, you will not have a home to come back to. So he doesn't come either. So I sat in the living room in tears for hours before deciding that, okay, I'm going to go ahead with this wedding anyway. And so I went and I met my husband and we got married. And it was hard for me to forgive my mother. It was hard because we had spent a lot of money, everyone coming down from, and I really loved this man and I believed that he loved me dearly too. And so for many years, my mother did not speak to me. And we ended up at church services together and conferences together. And when I said, hi, Mom, she would say, hello, dear. And she would walk straight past me. Yes, she did. And so for many years, my heart was broken. And I found it hard to release all of that. But the Lord God is a sun and shield. And he gives grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walketh uprightly. And so I waited for God to break the concrete that had lifted up itself in my family. And after 3 years, I got pregnant and I had my first son, my first child, my son, Stephen. I have two children, one boy and one girl. My son is now 31 years old. My daughter is 26. And my husband and I have been married for 33 years. Yes. And so after 11 years of marriage, Pastor Jerry, my mother called my husband behind my back and she said, I am so sorry for all that I have done to you and my daughter. And I am so sorry I was not at the wedding. And I am so sorry for all the pain I wrought upon you. And you know what she did? She had a wedding reception for me. 11 years later, she baked the wedding cake herself. She called all my friends behind my back, and they all traveled from all over the island of Jamaica, and they came to my mother's house. And in my husband said, oh, you know, it's our anniversary, let's go to dinner. And he knew I liked Italian food. So he was taking me to an Italian restaurant, or that was what I thought. And when I finally got to, I said, so we passed the restaurant down there, and he said, let's just go pick something up. And we drove to my parents' house, and when I got there, all my friends, like you are seated here, were all there with this big wedding cake and food, and everybody. It was such an awesome surprise, and my mother hugged me, and she said, forgive me. and I forgave her. And she forgave me. And you cannot believe the relationship we had before she died in 2000. We had an awesome relationship. And I recognize that the devil sees good things when you have good relationships. And it's his plan to destroy it with unforgiveness. And so this morning, I'm here to ask you to think when you feel like you do not want to forgive, or when the spirit of unforgiveness overwhelms you, think that forgiveness disappoints the devil. Forgiveness disappoints the devil. And if you want to disappoint him, one of the greatest things to do is to step away from what hurts and what pains you and to forgive. For in essence, what we are doing is doing to whomever hurt us what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen?
Amen.
I know you're not used to amen, but you're gonna do it this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Pastor Jerry, I got your congregation to say amen. And so, you know, one of the things that touched my heart when I was really praying to the Lord about forgiveness was the scripture that is found in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. And I'll just roll the scriptures in. You know, you can check this out later, because I have only, have I got my first 10 minutes yet? I got 10 minutes left. Okay, there you go. So 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23 said that Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed. Have you ever read that scripture? Yes? Jesus Christ, this was Jesus going to have the communion with the disciples. And the scripture says, Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed. And that really touched my heart, because you know what that drew to my attention? That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knew someone was going to betray him. He knew that he was being set up to be taken down. He knew it. And yet, that very same night, he turned up. He went with his disciples. He provided for them. He gave instructions. The same night, he served. The same night, he broke bread. The same night, he led. And so, sometimes, when people do bad things to us, if something happens in the church, you know what the first thing they do? They say, okay, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. I don't care what they tell me. Sister Anna upset me. Pastor will never get me to have another prayer meeting. And they stop. Christians who Jesus Christ forgave, when things go wrong, the first thing we do is we stop doing what we ought to do. If something goes wrong in the church, we do not agree with it, we grind to a halt. We stick our heels in. If somebody upsets us and says something that offends us, we stop coming to church for the next 3 weeks. We are not there, and we are not going until pastor calls and finds out what happened. And if pastor does not call, well, there you go. There are many other churches than St. Paul's. And we move right along, because we do not want to forgive. But the Bible tells me specifically here in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23 and going down, that even though Jesus knew that he was going to be betrayed, he decided that he was going to forgive even before he was hurt. He forgave even before the evil was done to him. He forgave in anticipation of being betrayed. He forgave knowing that the betrayal was coming. He forgave knowing that the hand that was with him at the table, the Bible says, the hand that is stretching with me at the table right now is going to betray me. And in spite of that, what did he do? He prayed anyway. He served anyway. He led anyway. He loved anyway. And he forgave anyway, in spite of his knowledge of what was going to happen to him. Sometimes we need to understand that hurting people hurt people.
That's right.
And some people, they don't want, it's not that they want to hurt you, but they hurt themselves, and it's a natural reaction of the fact that they need healing. So when you think about forgiveness, think first of the fact that Jesus Christ, the night that he was going to break bread with his disciples, he knew he was going to be betrayed, and yet he forgave. The Bible goes on to tell us in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 16, a long story is there about David, King David. King David had, he was in the process of leading the children of Israel. And so as he was moving from one point to the other, I don't want to belabor the point, but the Bible tells of one of Saul's relatives by the name of Shimei. And the Bible says that as David was leading his hundreds of men, from point A to B, Saul's relative Shimei came out and he cursed him. There are some very harsh words here. Sister Judy, Sister Paula, I left my glasses down there and I'm not good at seeing without glasses. Can you pass them for me, please? 2 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll do verse...
Oh, you're loaning me yours? Oh, well, there you go. God bless you.
All right. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And I'm just going to read some of the words that he said to this man. Shimei said to David, he said, verse 5 says, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David." Imagine the king, he was throwing stones at King David and he was cursing him, and he was saying to him, "And he cast stones at all the servants, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, 'Come out, come out, you bloody man, and you man of Belial,' he said. He said, 'Come out,' and he cursed David. And then one of David's men said, 'Why should this dead dog curse you, my king? Let me go over and take off his head.'" So David was being cursed, and his strong arm men were saying, "Let's go just chop his head off." And David said, "No, leave him alone. Who is to tell that maybe God is the one who is telling him to afflict me, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day?" And by the time we moved over to chapter 19 and verses 16 and 18 to 20, it says the king returned, and Shimei the son of Gera hasted toward him down, and Shimei bowed down before the king as he came over to John, and he said unto him, "Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely that day my lord the king went out to Jerusalem." And he said, "For I know I have sinned, and therefore behold, I am come the first this day to bow down to you." And David said unto him, "You shall not die this day." David forgave him. Imagine someone as up there, as we say, as David, the king, and a man curses you in front of hundreds of your people and stones you. And afterwards, David as king was able to forgive him. And sometimes we need to look above ourselves and recognize that, we might have some positions here on earth, but God puts up and God takes down. And when things happen, we must recognize that even in ourselves, regardless of who we are, we need to extend forgiveness to those around us. Sometimes it may be hard, oh yes, but the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because forgiveness has its benefits. Psalm 103 that we just read said that forgiveness is one of the benefits of God. What is a benefit? It's an advantage. It's a privilege. And Psalm 103 speaks to that. It says that daily God loads us up with benefits, and one of the benefits is he forgives our iniquities. It's a benefit. And if God has extended that benefit to us, then surely we ought to be able to extend that benefit to our fellow man. Before I close, the Bible says that, the scripture says that God has thrown our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. It doesn't really say that, into the sea. It says in Micah chapter 7, into the depths of the sea. And, the songwriters and lyricists have written songs that says into the sea of forgetfulness. But in Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, it says that he has cast out our sins into the depths of the sea. And so as a result of that, we are confirmed, or we are guaranteed indeed the benefit of forgiveness from the Lord. And you know, one preacher says, and not only has he done that, you know, I know this is not essentially so in concrete, but just the thought that God cast our sins into the sea of into the depths of the sea, and he put up a sign, the preacher said, and said, no fishing. So, you know, so when he throws it into the sea, into the depths of the sea, he does not permit anyone else to go and fish it back out and take it to beat you over the head with it and to start, you know, use your sins all over again to distress and discourage you. Because the Bible, the Word of God says that even if your heart condemns you, I am greater than your heart. God is greater than your heart. Sometimes we condemn ourselves. We look down on ourselves. We will not forgive ourselves. But the Bible says, even if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Forgive yourself.
Amen. Come on.
Forgive your husband. Forgive your wife. My husband has to do way more than 5,200 and You know, he's got a lot of forgiving to do. It's like, Lorraine, will you zip it? And in marriage, sometimes we have to extend forgiveness in our families, in our homes, with our loved ones. Sometimes they're the ones that really extend some hurt to us. But help yourself by forgiving them, because in forgiving them, you extend the benefit of God that he has given to you. Amen?
Amen.
Aha, we got it. We got it. Praise God. Now, let me close by saying this. There are some principles that apply when God gives us an instruction such as forgiving. There are principles that apply. So I want you to work with me today and apply this principle. I know that we're not all good at mathematics like our children's church lovely lady there. But I'm sure you can do this. Think of a number. Don't say it out loud. Just think of it. Have you thought of it? Hello? Okay, I'm gonna try this, okay? Think of a number, double it, and do not think of 6,983.5. Just a nice, simple number, okay? Think of a number, double it, add 6 to it. Have you done that? Divide it by 2. Mm-hmm. Now take away the number you started with. Have you done that? And your answer is 3. Aren't I a genius? Okay, here's the thing. I am not a mathematical genius. That is just a mathematical principle. And no matter where you go in the world, take your bed and run to Germany, if you use that principle, it's exactly the same. The answer will be exactly what I want it to be, because I've used this a system, a principle of maths to be able to do that. No matter what number you think of, the answer will always be the same. Yes? It's the same principle with God. God works by principles, just as night falls as day. Amen? The same way God's principles apply. If you forgive, he will also forgive you. That's the principle of God. And that speaks also to the fact, if you do not forgive, then sincerely do not expect God to forgive you. For there are principles that apply to God's ministries. And so today, let me help you with something. Unforgiveness makes you full of anger. But we must forgive in order to live in complete freedom. For a Christian, forgiveness is not an option. It is a command from God. And lack of it hinders your prayers, hinders the answers to your prayers, hinders forgiveness from God to you. It breeds disobedience, for if you do not forgive, you are automatically disobeying the word of God. And disobedience brings dishonor. For what does the scripture say? Even to the children, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and your father, for this is the first commandment with a promise of long life. So honor and obedience goes together. If we obey God, we honor him. And the Bible says that God will honor those who honor him. Amen? So let us obey God's word of forgiveness so that our prayers are not hindered. The enemy takes advantage of us when we do not forgive. And when we do not forgive, God does not accept our offering. What does the word of God says? It says, if you come to give your offering and you remember that your brother has something against you, even though it's not you that has something against him, it says, leave your offering, go make it right, do the process of forgiveness, and then come and face the presence of the Lord. So today, if Jesus Christ could, in the same night that he was betrayed, forgive, love anyway, serve anyway, pray anyway, and forgive anyway, then let me encourage you, minister in forgiveness, for God loves people who obey in forgiveness. God bless you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you.